Okay, let's review Shabbos Daf Daled. The Gemara discusses the proof that a person does not have a din of a Rishus HaYachid or Rishus Ram. This is actually from Daf Gimel, that we know he doesn't have a din of a Rishus HaRabim because the Balabais takes the object from the Ani's hand that's stuck inside. The Balabais is going to be Pater. And he doesn't have a din of a Rishus HaYachid from the fact that the Ani takes the object from the Balabais' hand that's stuck outside. So he's Pater. So you see that the hand does not go bus for the Guf and have the same din as where the Guf is. But then on Daf Daled, we start to discuss the concept of being madbik pas betanur b'Shabbos. That if a person stuck dough onto an oven on Shabbos, is he allowed to remove the dough? Normally, the removal of dough would involve an iser derabanan, but if he leaves the dough there, he's going to be in violation of melacha d'oraisa on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, if he did it b'mezid, so then we allow him to remove the dough before it gets baked in order to save himself from an iser skila, even though redias hapas is an iser derabanan. If he did it b'shogeg, then he's not allowed to remove the dough, even though he remembers in between that it's Shabbos or that this malacha is aser because he was b'shogeg at first. He either didn't know that it was Shabbos or he didn't know that this was a malacha, but now he remembers, since even if he doesn't take it down, he's not going to be chayav v'chatas anyway, because you're only chayav v'chatas when you're shogeg b'tchila u'basof, both when you initially do the act and when the malacha happens. So he's not going to be chayav v'chatas anyway. There's no sense in permitting him to remove the dough. If a person sees somebody else putting the dough in the oven b'shogeg, you're not allowed to remove it to save your friend from the chayav v'chatas, because einom la'adam chatei k'tei sheyizka chavircha. We don't tell a person to violate a lesser iser in order to save his friend from a greater iser. Now, the Gemara then discusses how big does the place where the akira sachefetz or the hanacha sachefetz have to be in order to violate hotza'a. So typically speaking, we assume it has to be 4x4 tefachim, but the Gemara then wonders, then how could the hand be considered a place of an akira or a hanacha? So ultimately, on daf hem alaf, the Gemara will come to the conclusion that yado shel adam is chashuv ka'arba al arba. But until that point, the Gemara has three other possibilities of maybe there are tanaim somewhere that hold that you don't need a makom of dalit al dalit. The Gemara discussed someone who throws something from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that Rabbi Akiva holds his chayv, the Chum says pater. Rabbah's not sure what the exact case of the machlokas is. One possibility is he threw it in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim under 10 tefachim. So Rabbi Kiva holds kluta kamisha and chadamya, and it's considered as if the object rested in the Rosh Hashanah, and that's why it's chayiv. And the Chacham says, pater, because kluta lav kamisha and chadamya, it's not as if the object rested in the Rosh Hashanah. But had he thrown it above 10 tefachim, everyone would have agreed that it's pater, because the airspace above 10 tefachim is a makom patur. Or Rabbi says, maybe not. Maybe if he throws it above 10 tefachim, that's where there's the machlokas. Rabbi Akiva learns the din of Zorek from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah through Rosh Hashanah above 10 tefachim from Moshit, from passing, which is what they did in the Mishkan. And therefore he'd be chayiv. And the Chachamim do not learn Zorek from Moshit, that passing and throwing are different. But had he thrown it in Rosh Hashanah under 10 tefachim, then even the Chachamim would agree, Kluta Kamishun Chadamya, and the guy would definitely be chayiv. If a person throws an object four amos in Rosh Hashanah and it lands on a ziz, or a branch that's very small, is he going to be chayiv? So the halach is he's potter, because on a ziz he's potter, because it didn't land on a place that's 4x4 tefachim. But on the branch of a tree, if the tree itself is rooted in a place that's 4x4 tefachim, and this branch just happens to be smaller, so Rebbe says you're chayiv, because we say shadi nofo basre ikaro, and we consider it as if it's resting in Rosh Hashanah on a makom dalit, even though the branch is much smaller. But the they say we don't view the trunk of the tree as the place where it's resting. We look at the branch independently, and the branch is smaller than 4x4 tefachim. And the Gemara finally discusses a case of throwing an object from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah through the airspace of Rosh Hashayachid. The opposite case that we discussed before we discussed from one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashayachid across a Rosh Hashanah, now we're discussing one Rosh Hashanah to another Rosh Hashanah across a Rosh Hashayachid. So if the Rosh Hashayachid has a roof over it, Rebbe says you're chayiv for achnasa and for hotza'a, because the Rosh Hashayachid is considered to be filled up until the roof, and it's not considered to be empty airspace, and therefore any object that gets thrown through it is as if it's resting there, and the Chum say they're going to be potter. A Rosh Hashayachid that doesn't have a roof over it, even Rebbe would say you're potter, since it's not considered as if the object is resting there. If a person passes an object for amos in Rosh Hasharabim that has a roof over it, he's potter, because that's not considered to be like the Digle Midbar. It's not, there was no, the, it wouldn't constitute a real Rishus Rabbim, because all the malachos are patterned after what happened in the Midbar, and there was no Rishus Rabbim Mekura, there was no such thing as a Rishus Rabbim with a roof over it in the Midbar. That is a Chazara of Shabbos Taf Talit.